Good morning and welcome to another rousing edition of Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com.
Good morning.
So nice to have you back. Speaking of your back, how's it going?
It's going.
Lisa, I think we mentioned this yesterday. Lisa picked the dog up and threw her back out.
Yep.
So she's in a little pain this morning, but she's doing a little better.
I'm hanging in there.
All right. We welcome you to your Thursday morning, weekend eve, sort of.
Sort of.
All right, the 30th of July. We will have your saint of the day coming up here in just a minute. And I think Therese has it today, which was recorded the day before.
She had her wisdom teeth pulled?
Did we mention what we're doing, what we're into here? This is, we have a very unique, I don't know, maybe it's not unique in traditional Catholic circles. We have our two oldest girls at home have had their wisdom teeth taken out the same day.
Yep, same day. And I threw my back out.
And then Lisa threw her back out the day before that happened. And then Joseph, when he gets back from boys camp, we have a couple of weeks, and then everybody gets braces.
Something like that.
And Lisa needs a back brace.
Yeah.
I think. We'll have your day in history in just a minute. And we had a request to replay the segment from your mom and dad, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's their anniversary coming up on the 1st. How many years is it?
56 years.
56 years
mm-hmm.
on the 1st of August. And so we're going to play it a little earlier in the show. And because of folks listening that requested, say they couldn't hear it, and it was a whole different thing. So we're going to put our little segment on marriage. And I thought it was pretty well done. A lot of good information there from a couple who've, you know, been there.
56 years.
56 years. Thick and thin, ups and downs. Lisa acting up and being silly.
That's not true.
Okay. You were the golden child, weren't you? Yeah. So Ted and Harleen will be on with us. We're going to have another edition of our Latin Word of the Day. And a little kind of a plug for tomorrow's show. If you can tune in to tomorrow morning, most of the show is going to consist of this thing, either tomorrow morning or the replay again in the afternoon, then you're going to have a little treat. It's our most long-distance Skype session ever.
Ever.
We've latched onto the whole Skype thing. It's Father Peter Scott via Skype from South Africa. Is it South Africa?
No, Africa.
Just Africa somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Johannesburg.
I don't think it's actually, or is it a suburb of Johannesburg?
It's a suburb.
They have a brand new school now.
Rudaport.
Brand new. Rudaport, that's it. Or as he would say, Rudaport.
Rudaport.
They have, I don't know how brand new the school is, but they have a school that they've built there. And it's interesting because we were talking to him before about the unique life in Africa. From how marriages are done, they have, it's just a unique situation.
Very.
Of course, he has Muslims, and he's in a high crime area.
Mm.
But yet these people,
he gives us some history.
He does. He gives us a little history, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow. So the whole bottom two segments of the show are going to be from Father Peter Scott via Skype from Africa. And you get to see Catholic work in action.
Mm-hmm.
A Catholic school, people getting catechized, the sacraments. This is a high crime area. These are people who just on the street. Father said on the street, it's not unusual for people to come to the gates and ask for rosaries and pray them.
Right.
And ask, okay, now I have this thing in my hand. How do I pray this? Father, show me.
Right. They want to learn.
And so this is coming up tomorrow. So join
us. It reminded me of the Indians, too, that,
right.
that spirit of wanting to know and fulfilling what they've learned,
mm-hmm.
you know, to, yeah, from fulfill Father what they've learned.
Right. From Father DeSmet.
Right.
And so tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon, your morning tradition consisting a little bit of, we'll have some of your Latin of the day, you know, things like that, but Father Peter Scott via Skype from Africa. How do you say it?
Rudaport.
Rudaport. And that's a suburb, you're saying?
It is, of Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, all right. Well,
which is in
begin.
Africa, not South Africa.
Right, but South Africa is technically Africa. It's just in the south, right? It's Africa. All right, we're going to find out a whole lesson from him. And my question to you at this point is, how can you know where you're going? If you don't know where you've been. That's right. It's This Day in History.
Any day in history.
Day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today happens to be the 30th of July. It's the 211th day of the year. In our year of our Lord, 2015, there are 154 days left till the end of the year.
It's getting shorter.
It is. The days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, and we're sleeping less.
Yeah.
It was on this day in 579, Benedict I ended his reign as the Catholic Pope.
And ironically enough, also today, but in 657, St. Vitalian?
There you go.
St. Vitalian begins his reign as Catholic Pope, succeeding Eugene I.
It's interesting. We have a friend named Michael Vitali. In Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yes.
Vitalian. I wonder if he knows that.
Okay. I don't know.
Maybe we should move on. 1178, this day in history, Frederick I, or as Father Scott would say, Frederick I, Barbarossa, Holy Roman Emperor, crowned the King of Burgundy.
Okay, and on this day in 1419, it was the first
defenestration.
Thank you. Defenestration of Prague. It was anti-Catholic
Hussites,
followers of executed reformer, who?
Jan Hus.
Jan Hus. They storm the Prague town hall and throw the judge, mayor, and several city council members, either 7 or 13 of them, out the windows.
Oh.
They all either died in the fall or were killed by the crowd outside. Is that sad?
Oh, yeah. Violent.
Thanks for your help, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Got your back, even how sore it is. 1729, the city of Baltimore was founded. Hello, Baltimoreites or Baltimoreans or Baltiminians, whatever you go as.
And on 1811 on this day, Father Miguel Hidalgo y Castilla, leader of the Mexican insurgency, is executed by the Spanish in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Chihuahua.
Go ahead, go for it.
I just like saying, what, Chihuahua?
Yeah, I know, go ahead.
I'm not going to sing it. And it was on this day, this is a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. Today we celebrate the anniversary of Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Have some this morning in honor.
Of Will Kellogg.
Of poor Kellogg. 1898, William Kellogg invented cornflakes in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yep.
And they don't have, they used to have, was it not Cornflake City? What was that place we used to go?
I know, I forgot.
You know what it was?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They used to have a museum about cereal and cornflakes. What he did, because he had that asylum there. He had like a health asylum and stuff. Weirdness.
Really?
Don't you know? Remember?
I remember is going and seeing the cornflakes and stuff.
Oh, no, he was all into health and everything.
And Tony the Tiger. They're great.
He wanted to find a way, Will Kellogg wanted to find a way to get this corn cereal. It's very fibrous, and it was health cereal. He was all into health, deep knee bends and stuff, breathe the deep air. He'd park people on their wheelchairs out on the front porch for hours at a time, breathe the fresh air.
That's actually good for you.
Okay, so he invented this. It's a way to mush the corn up, right?
Okay.
Make it into a big paste, you spread it out thin and dry it out, and then it flakes up. And then you can pour healthy cow's milk on it, and they ate it, and they loved it. Oh, these are flaky. It's nice. It became a party.
Great. And thanks for the history.
You're welcome. And then the best thing they ever did to cornflakes?
What?
Spray sugar on them.
That's the Kellogg's corn
flakes. Frosted flakes. Yeah.
Back in
the day when you could say the word sugar.
I need some more coffee.
Yes, you do. Back, it used to be, remember when you had breakfast cereal that you could actually say the word sugar right on the box?
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, we can't do that. It's going to have to be called golden now.
Right.
Or honey or something.
Because sugar rots your teeth.
We just take fake sugar and spray it on there and call it good. Yes, we do. Oh, man, I love Frosted Flakes. I used to just, you know, because after you eat the Frosted Flakes and the frosting melts off into the milk, then you have the sweetest, goodest, bestest milk ever when you're a kid. Did I just say goodest and bestest?
Yeah, you did.
See, I'm getting
bad English.
I'm turning 8 again.
Ugh.
I'm becoming 5 because I'm going back into Tony the Tiger. They were great.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I so want some cereal.
Don't regress.
I want cereal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to take a little break, and we will go to the saint of the day, and we will come back. Ted and Harleen Huberner are going to join us on via Skype with a replay of the segment we had on marriage. We're going to talk about good foundation Catholic marriage.
Yes.
I love you, Lisa.
I love you too, Mike.
How's your back?
It hurts.
Even though your back is not perfect right now, I got it. I got your back.
Thank you.
Even though it's messed up.
Thank you.
So that was part of our vows I wanted. No matter how messed up you get, I'm going to still love you.
How good are you? Still stick by me, huh?
Yeah. We'll be back. Cornflakes for everyone. Welcome back to Magnificat Radio here at MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin. This is your morning tradition. And we have with us, maybe you should introduce Mom and Dad, huh?
Well, you can go ahead.
All right. We're very fortunate to have with us now on via Skype, our second victims via Skype, Ted and Harleen Huebner, who are Lisa's mom and dad, my in-laws.
Yep.
And we bring them on today to talk about marriage and what I consider a good Catholic marriage. And so, Mom and Dad, welcome to your morning tradition. It's great to have you on our show.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you.
Hi, Lisa. Thank
Hi.
You.
And we do this from time to time. We'll have the kids and get together, and we'll Skype with Nana and Papa, and it's a big conference call. It's Skype is a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's almost like a real visit.
It is, yes. So let's talk about marriage, specifically your marriage and marriage in general. You two are getting ready to celebrate your 56th wedding anniversary on what day?
On August the 1st.
August the 1st.
We're married in 1959.
How did you two meet?
We met at my cousin's graduation party, and it was the day I graduated also, and Harleen and her friends happened to be there or arrived there while we were there. And I asked my cousin if she could set up a blind date for us.
Uh-huh.
And she said yes, so she did. And about, a few days later we met, went out, and it blossomed from there.
And thank God for that, otherwise I'd never be here.
Yes, yeah, I thank God for that every day. So after that first initial meeting, today there is everyone talks about, it's love at first sight, and you see people getting married in a week, and let's fly to Vegas and let's just do this thing. And how long was your courtship? Do you remember?
Well, yes, it was about 3 years because he was in the service for 2 years.
Ah.
My father wasn't particularly thrilled about me getting married at that age, so he suggested, put this in Ted's mind that he might get his service over with, because at that time it was mandatory, which gave me a couple of years to mature.
And what age was that, Mom?
When I was 18.
18.
And I was 20.
So as it was, we were married at 21 and 23, which was good.
You guys have talked about Bay City, Michigan before, and all the beautiful Catholic churches that were there. And there's one still there today, our Infinite Prague Church. Tell me about what that was like, dating, courting, because you both went to different schools, did you not?
Different Catholic schools, yes.
Different Catholic schools. Okay. I went to St. James, and Harleen went to St. Mary's.
Uh-huh. And so was there a sort of a rivalry there? Did you talk about that on, say, you'd go out to the movies, and you end up talking about our team versus your team, and that kind of thing?
Yes, there was somewhat of a rivalry, because all the Catholic schools in Bay City usually played each other, and also those in Saginaw.
Yeah.
But it was kind of strange, because a lot of my friends from St. Mary's met young men from St. James and ended up marrying them. A lot of couples were
from our class, from my class.
From my class and his class got together.
See, so
that's neat.
You brought the two schools together in so many different ways. It's beautiful.
That's people together.
Well, they got together at our wedding.
A lot of them did, yeah.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, yeah. Did you have, now this was obviously a big Catholic wedding. I've seen the pictures, they're beautiful.
Polish wedding.
A Polish wedding, which lasts a long time, I hear.
Well, not like it used to, I suppose.
No.
Okay.
But some of them went on for 3 days, I guess. But
Let's talk about marriage in general. 56 years is a long, long time. After your marriage, and Ted, you get back from the Army, and you guys are married. You start your family. I guess, what do you attribute 56 years together? What do you attribute that to?
I think the both of us believe in our wedding vows, and they are a vow, and a vow means you can't break it. So we understood that right from the start.
The longevity of a marriage was always understood.
It was forever until your spouse departed. Mm-hmm. We never forgot that. As far as our marriage went throughout the years, yeah, we had our spats. All marriages have problems like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any one marriage of all the people that I know that didn't have a spat somewhere in their life.
Right.
But that didn't end the marriage.
Well, marriage isn't easy. It's not even one thing that you can do that keeps it going. It's a lot of things. One thing, it's a practicing of several virtues for the benefit of that spouse in a million different ways. It's not just one thing that you can do that's saying, oh, do this and your marriage will be great. It'll be long-lasting, or you'll survive it, or whatever. It's a million things. And it's all done with virtues that you can practice for that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's not easy, because you have to give up that your own ego and your own self and your own interest. And that's hard.
Yeah, right. That is hard.
It's a matter of respecting that other person. It's a matter of thinking of that other person. It's a matter of thanking that other person. It's a matter of helping them. It's a matter of putting them first instead of your own want.
It's not only all that, it's working together and doing everything together.
The other thing is sharing a faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Faith in the church, in God. And
right. You hear people talk about having things in common with their spouse, and you can see a true, wholesome practice of the true faith is, first and foremost, what a bedrock to build a relationship on. Really.
A good foundation.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, tell me about. I'm gonna ask you about the kids, because my wife is sitting right here. tell me about the children. How soon after you were married did children come into play?
Right away.
Right.
Lisa Sue was born 11 months after we were married.
I read an article the other day that said, people are putting off having children because they want to experience being a couple, a married couple. And it's a twisted view, modernistic view of the way people see things today. And I think we see the results of that in the divorce rate and such. But talk a little bit about that. I mean, having a family right away after being married, and guess what? You're celebrating 56 years together.
Well, that's why the church teaches that Christ's intention for the sacrament of marriage was the procreation of children. If children are not intended, what was the point of the marriage? They should have probably remained single.
Doesn't it come down, I'm just thinking this, doesn't it come down to that whole definition of love, the sacrifice for someone else? First of all, you're sacrificing your life for the beloved, the loved one,
the spouse,
your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get married, as you become a couple, one couple, now you sacrifice
for the children,
for your children. And what a beautiful thing
mm-hmm.
that is.
Yeah, it is.
So 56 years later, tell me, I mean, you guys, I know you go biking together. You still do everything together. What is it that?
How do you keep it alive?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you? I mean, we've talked about the faith and having that, but do you guys have to struggle every day to come up with stuff? How am I going to?
No, the thing is, we communicate. I think we found it so difficult to listen to other couples, young and older, and he and I will come away and say, don't they talk with each other? Don't they speak with each other? How come this one doesn't know that about the other one? Or how come they didn't share that when they made that decision? Or we communicate.
That is important.
Yeah.
It's very important. And we've done that all our lives.
And, I mean, if one goes out, they wouldn't dream of going out without the other one. Or if one went on a vacation, we wouldn't dream of going on vacation without the other one.
Right.
I mean, it's just, we're not two separate people.
Yeah. The only time that I think they ever surprised Harlene was when you guys showed up a year ago for her birthday.
That's the only thing you ever kept a secret?
She never knew that you were coming.
And that was Lisa's idea. That was a great surprise.
And she was surprised.
Perfect. I wanted to ask about, just really quickly, we see marriages today. You had that question this morning at breakfast about...
Well, we were talking before earlier how marriages, people get married and they're married for like a year or two and they call it quits, or five and they call it quits. Like it's an option. Mm-hmm. And then I asked my mom, I said, then, you know, you see marriages that they've been together 18, 20, 22, 25, you know, almost 30 years. And then all of a sudden you hear, though, they're calling it quits. And I said, you know, you made it that long. Why couldn't you make it another 25?
It seems weird, because if you make it that long, then you must have made the sacrifice for each other. You must communicate. You've made it that long. Now what changed? What do you think about that?
What
do you see in that?
What happened there?
Well,
I think it goes back to what I said in the beginning. People today don't realize what a vow means. And a vow means forever. And forever means that you communicate with your spouse no matter what. Even through the hard times, the bad times, the good times, you still talk.
If during those first 20, 25 years or whatever, those people had made each other the object of their concern and the virtues they could practice for the benefit of that person, then how could that person, after sharing so much, be somebody you could replace easily? There's nobody that's going to care for all those things that in your life as that first person. If you think you can find somebody else that's a stranger and give them, now that you're all grown up and mature, 30 years later, now you're going to find somebody, give them the maturity that the one who was with you struggled with during your immaturity.
Ah.
You know, you think that that's what you should have done. Now, maybe people didn't share that with each other. And I can see why they don't mean that to each other. But if you did, that should be the most important person who can share all those things with you. The new person can't. And you're fooling yourself, you think you can. I don't know what the modern person's looking for. I think it's just, they think that we can change and get something else all the time.
Yeah,
you don't like it?
I would have to say, number one, in the bottom, in the base of the whole thing, is we've put marriage on a secular level. It becomes a party. It becomes,
this is true.
Let's experience this together. Well, when the experiences stop, or you can no longer experience the same things together, or you lose interest in the same things,
and you're no longer happy,
what do you have to fall back on? You have nothing. And unless you have that sacrament as the foundation.
Right, the foundation of the faith, and it being a sacrament,
yeah,
in that knowledge.
And if you have that, you have, for those 20, 30 years, then putting that person before yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, you haven't been. You've been thinking of yourself,
right,
other than the other person.
Yep.
Because we've made it a while, and I can guarantee you I get on Lisa's nerves daily. So...
Not daily.
Hourly?
No, not hourly.
Oh, man. Ted and Harley, thank you for being on the show again.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
And that's going to do it for our little show today. Mike and Lisa Austin. And...
It's always good to talk with them.
They're inspirational, and I will. It's just nice to talk. Yeah, you're right. It's always just nice to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more you can say. You got some good parents there.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
I think so.
Well, our thanks to you for being here with us this morning. Thanks to Father Wood again for our Latin word of the day. I think Michael Murphy joins us tomorrow again.
Good.
For a Latin word of the day. And Father Wood is coming back around, so we'll have more new ones with Father Woods very soon. But there you go. And Ted and Harlene Huebner, thank you for being on. I think we have your dad on again. Oh, wait,
did
I ran out of music.
Did you not extend that?
I'll get to it one of these days. It's such a nice little song. Your dad's joining us again. We're going to talk about the Holy Name Society.
Yeah, it's important.
Of which your dad is a part. That's all coming up on another show this week, I think. Maybe tomorrow. Look at the schedule. Later on today, we've had people ask us, how come you don't have Father Scott's thing on the Ten Commandments more than just at 12 noon Central Time?
Yes.
We know we have listeners overseas, and we know we have listeners across the country because we've heard from you. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
So while we do tend to see what I'm doing, I got to get some more.
You just have to extend it, Mike.
While we... we tend to think of Central Time in America for us. So suffice to say, Father Scott will be on at 12 noon Central Time with a talk on the Ten Commandments, and again at 5 p.m. Central Time U.S., whatever time that is where you are, figure it out.
Music kind of reminds me of like Groundhog's Day, you know, over and over and over again.
Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com. Your morning tradition, where we are living our faith.